very good evening to you, Eagle FM listeners, whoever you are finding yourself out. This is Matthias Angala, greeting you from our studios live, from, our Windhoek studio. And, I'm here to stand in for Elizabeth. And, very soon I'll be crossing over to the ECN, the Electoral Commission headquarters, for an update on the, as you are well aware that, the polls have closed officially. And, there will be an update on the polling progress, as the polls have closed, and, as well as the voting counting procedures. So stand by for that. And, the team is, hard at work. Our team at the ECN of, headquarters is hard at work, and it will be updating us on that as it's unfolding. But before that, I think in a few, I'll be crossing over to Hileni, and she'll be updating us on her observation throughout what she observed throughout the day. But we are talking about the regional as well as local authority elections, which have been happening as per the, you know, Electoral Act. You see that the elections of regional councillors are held using the first past the post electoral system, and that basically means that you and I as a voter, you know, have a preference to choose your preferred candidate, you know, your preferred candidate. And this is what have been happening all day today. And voters in each constituency, we, you know, that we have about 121 constituencies around all the 14 regions, with Rundu Urban being the densely populated constituency, and Okachari in Oshana region being the least densely populated. Rundu Urban in Kamango East is populated with about 363,300 people, and as well as Okachari with more than 3,000 inhabitants, being the least densely populated constituency in the whole country. So that basically means that voters in each of those constituencies elect one councillor to represent them on the regional council, and while on the local authority council, you know, council elections, councillors are elected using the system of a proportional representation. Basically means that we don't vote directly the councillors, but you know, according to the votes they have gained, now there is a percentage which have to be calculated, and according to those percentages, as the votes determines how many councillors each political party represented in that election are going to sit on each municipal village or town council, you know, management. So now, the regional councils then also select three representatives to sit on the national council, and the national council is where laws are reviewed after referred thereof by the National Assembly, and if there's a need for the further deliberation on those, proposed bills, then they have to be sent back to the National Assembly for further deliberation, and if there's satisfaction, then proposed bills have to be sent to the President for ascension, and after ascension, then they have to be tabled. They have to be tabled as gazetted. They have to be, you know, after a session or in layman terms, meaning the person have to sign. And if signed, then they have to be, listed in the gazette. That basically means that they are allowed to be, used in Namibia as acts of parliament. Okay? So now, it basically means that each region is, represented by 3 members. And they, together they make up a council. Alright? So this is why, this is how important it is to participate in this election. And, as per the participation, basically determines the representation of those political parties. So, in a few, we are going to cross over, to the colleagues who are stationed at the Electoral Commission of Namibia headquarters, and we are going to be updated thereof and guided what is transpiring thereof. And my name is Matthew Sangala. I'll be with you and from this hour until when it is 12 midnight, and I trust that you are going to find everything we are doing very interesting. And we received some showers in the capital. The weather is just perfect, and I trust that a lot of you, perhaps some of you, have been working all day long, and some of you are just reaching home now. So we give you this update whilst you will be laid back. So, right, stick around. I will be taking a break. Taking a short break, and then after that, I will be coming back with such an update as promised.
Lipura nengelo wapumbwa eva tere ulikoni maondo tuto ingida ashike kapeno nweko tete opoye ekukurile oshafafa na nongeshe faili mehola mo iho etike kovano ile koshiwana onongeshe fa ya pumbwa kukaraya kovano okupitira mo Eagle FM otuna ebito danjuka okukwetira oipindi konu konda doili nawa nune udo otukwetira o special ange tashake ngeshe fa omarudi dayo loka opone ushendife nawa nukumona oijamo ili nawa ninge pata fanona Monica ko Eagle FM onore tatu imwe bali heali nola natu heali bali no heali ile kongerewa nora hetatu natu bali o hetatu batatu o mafilane Eagle FM the eye.
Eagle FM lets you express your constitutional rights of freedom of expression without fear of failure.
This is actually, to put it mildly, an economic scandal.
Fraud.
So not fraud, it's a scandal.
Scandal.
Why do you give a tender to somebody who does not have capacity to build? Why should you do that? You know a person that does not have a capacity to build.
Eagle FM lets you talk.
That's why I'm always telling people in Parliament, let me not take up my Katatura manners.
Right.
Because I grew up in Katatura.
Uh-huh.
And I will not hesitate to tell you off if it is needed to
be part of the debate by setting the agenda.
My response in terms of Rwanda at 6% is that we had been there before. We've had 6% growth before.
Mm.
It's not something that Namibia has not achieved in the past, and it's not something Namibia will not be able to achieve in the future.
Eagle FM.
Lipuranenge no wapumbwa eva tere ulikoni maondo tuto ingida ashike kapeno nweko tete opoye ekukurile oshafafa na nongeshe faili mehola mo iho etike kovano ile koshiwana onongeshe fa ya pumbwa kukaraya kovano okupitira mo Eagle FM otuna ebito danjuka okukwetira oipindi konu konda doili nawa nune udo otukwetira o special ange tashake ngeshe fa omarudi dayo loka opone ushendife nawa nukumona oijamo ili nawa ninge pata fanona Monica ko Eagle FM onore tatu imwe bali heali nola natu heali bali no heali ile kongerewa nora hetatu natu bali o hetatu batatu o mafilane Eagle FM the eye.
Right, as promised, I'm back on air, and I have Helen Inane on the line. Hileni, very good evening to yourself, and welcome to this special edition of, you know, regarding the local as well as regional council elections. Very good evening to yourself.
A very good evening, Matthias, and a very good evening to all our listeners.
Mm-hmm.
I hope they went out in numbers to actually just practice their civic rights and vote for their local and regional leaders.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
All right. Perhaps you can narrate to us how was the voting day today, and what have you observed throughout the day when it comes to voter turnout, and what are the people saying according to the places where you have been today?
Today I was fortunate enough to visit multiple polling stations, both in Katutura and Kommersdal sectors of Commerce region, and my observation was that there was an extremely low turnout of voters. I cannot even say low, extremely low. There were barely people out there to vote. Most of them were not eager to give us commentary most of them were not able to give us commentary on record, which is something we could play just to sensitize other listeners. But what I've picked up is that a lot of people do not know the importance of local and regional elections. A lot of people do not know the role these two entities play in uplifting communities, in getting things going. So because of lack of information, lack of knowledge, people do not go out in numbers to vote because they are not sensitized enough. They don't have enough information on the matters. And I was actually surprised to find out that citizens are under the impression that presidential elections are more important than local and regional elections, because if we all know, and those of us that have been following along, you would come to the realization that local and regional elections are actually the important ones, because those are the people that have first-hand direct contact with community members. These are the people that take problems to parliament. These are the people that solve problems for communities, table motions, you know, make suggestions to the higher-ups in the government, and yet this is where community members are failing to give their inputs and just do what is right for themselves. Just hold on for me a bit.
Okay. Right. So that is what is we are picking up there from our field reporter, Hileni Inani, who is saying that she observed low turnout, voter turnout today, voter apathy from where she have been. And, this is the general observation we are picking up also from various, polling stations where, I really, got to talk to some people today, the same all across the country. And, we are also trying to understand what could be the reason, for voter apathy, as we are observing. Right. Hileni, are you settled?
Yes, I am here now.
Okay.
Basically just sorting out something.
Uh-huh.
So from the observations, it's really just the disappointing turnout. I would have loved to see more people going out to vote. I would have loved to know that people were educated. And honestly speaking, the education around regional and local authority elections is not enough. At least that's what I was able to pick up from my interaction with the people today. And, compared to the presidential election, you would think that people wouldn't be motivated because of the time spent in queues and all that. But that was different from today. Like, you could spend a maximum of plus minus 5 minutes to cast your vote. So we cannot even say it's because of the voting conditions that people did not turn up.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
All right. Helene, even the same time last year, you were busy running up and down, also observing, doing different observations at different polling stations.
Yes.
And one thing that I picked up from last year's elections is that there were some issues pertaining to logistics. For example, insufficient ballot papers and,
yes,
you know, technical issues with the tablets. So now,
yes,
do you think that this somehow also played a role in this year's low turnout of voters? Perhaps according to what you heard from you know, the voters, perhaps to say that some didn't turn up maybe because they were discouraged of what happened during last year's presidential and national assembly elections.
Not at all. And also from just conversing with some of the presiding officers at the venues, better preparations were made for this year. Also, it was easier to do logistics because you need to keep in mind that regional and local authorities elections are only for people who are registered for that particular constituency. So it made it easy for the logistical teams to just have everything in order, which they have planned better for. Unfortunately, the turnout was still low, so there was no issues of running out of ballot papers, of not being able to attend to everyone in the queues or sending voters away or anything in that line.
Mm-hmm. And do you think that, you know, low turnout of voters in the future might perhaps impact the way the Electoral Commission is going to plan when it comes to logistics? Perhaps that to say that, do you think it will affect the number of ballot papers to be printed next time there will be such kind of elections?
It shouldn't, and I don't think it will. But what needs to happen is the ECN needs to do better as an entity. The ECN needs to work on informing the voters because these are their stakeholders. So they should just go out there and inform people and educate people. Like I said, you come to realize that people do not know the importance of participating in the local and regional elections. And that is why there's such a low turnout. Yet people are eager to participate in presidential elections, when in actual fact, the local and regional is more important to you as a community member, to you as a citizen of the country, because this is the people that you are acting with, that you are interacting with on a daily basis. This is the people that are solving your everyday needs, for instance, water, sanitary, you know, facilities, electricity, all those things that communities need as upliftment are done through the offices that are also neglected. So the ECN does not have to lower the printout or anything like that. The ECN has to invest in education. The ECN has to invest in making sure that each and every Namibian is educated enough so that they are able to participate come 5 years from now.
Right. And talking about education, us ourselves here at Eagle FM, we have been running some water education program with our partners, our partner, the Konrad Adenauer Stifting. So now, do you think that the message is reaching the masses when it comes to the local languages? Because, you know, you have to understand that in Namibia, we have, we know we are diverse when it comes to local languages. Do you think the message is really reaching the masses out there to say that, you know, perhaps that there's a language barrier when it comes to, if we can have to compare it to the illiteracy level in the country?
As Eagle FM, we are doing the most. We are doing the best that we can. unfortunately, we are at a point where we do not have the capacity to integrate certain messages into all the languages that we have in the country. But compared to us, the ECN should have the capacity to integrate information into all the languages spoken in Namibia and to also make sure that everyone is informed. We are doing our part as, you know, as a corporate entity, but then that does not leave the whole load on us to say, because we are a media house, we need to make sure that everything is done, or it's entirely our responsibility. Somewhere along the line, we need to be met halfway. We cannot go all the way alone. And I'm very appreciative of the initiative Konrad Adenauer has done for us. And I always say, in as much as we don't like to admit it, Konrad Adenauer Stiftung is not really a Namibian entity per se, but they still do the most in educating Namibians and trying to meet the nation halfway. Unfortunately, they are also not able to have these conversations in all of our languages due to resources. And, you know, it's very difficult to get resources. It's very difficult to get anyone to want to dedicate their time for free. So it becomes tricky for even us as a media entity to want to really help, because, you know, just to translate something, and I've experienced this firsthand, especially when we are doing articles, we are doing just small things, and you ask someone, can you please translate this for me? People always expect a fee, and if we are to continue dishing out for every time we need something translated, I don't think we'll get the chance to grow as a business as well. And that's why I emphasized on the fact that the ECN needs to meet others halfway. Collaborations need to come in place so that we can educate people better. Because I am very sure if we collaborated, if more resources were availed as a radio station with platforms such as podcasting and YouTube, we would be able to reach a bigger number of people in all the languages available compared to when it's just English and some of the fewer languages that we actually have.
Mm-hmm. All right. Okay. Judging from the conversations I had throughout the day, I picked up from several people that, they are expressing actually frustration regarding outreach programs, saying that some of them saying that you know, this lack of outreach programs on the side of those who were elected, saying some of them saying that as soon as some of the councillors are elected, they hardly reach out to the communities as compared to the times when they were campaigning for the very same communities, on the very same communities. They are available, they are visible on the ground, but once they are elected into several offices, they hardly reach out to the very same communities. And you know, as per the Local Authority Act, it actually mandated the councillors to avail themselves at least three times quarterly through community meetings for them to actually discuss issues which the communities are facing, and not only to discuss them but also to ensure that they are addressed. But you know, what I'm picking up from conversations is that the councillors are actually not available, some of them perhaps during those community meetings. Did you perhaps pick up the same from the conversations you had with the voters, or what are they really saying regarding this issue, if there's any?
Unfortunately, that is a conversation I always try to just, you know, stay away from because of several reasons. First of all, I call those politics of the stomach, because politicians are quick to make promises, and community members fall for these promises, and time and over again, we have seen in our communities. Let me speak for before I became a member of the fourth estate. You would see that there were promises made by politicians. You would see that before elections, they promise you heaven and earth. They promise you everything that you as a community desire. But after the election is over and this person has been cemented into their office, there is really nothing that you can do about it anymore. And you just have to take whatever progression comes from it. You have to deal with whatever the outcome of your vote is. And unfortunately, it's not guaranteed. There is hope that, yes, we are voting for someone that will uplift communities. We are voting for someone that will do a lot of good for communities. But it is not guaranteed at all.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
All right. All right. So what are your prospects going forward? Do you think we are going to, face the same issues come, next time we are going to have regional and local authority elections, or do you think this time, next time, we are going to do better than what we, what happened this year?
For as long as the outcome is the same, the process will also always be the same. Just hold on for me.
All right. Okay, that is what we are picking up from there, from the conversation, with myself and my colleague Hileni. She's speaking to us live from the Electoral Commission, offices, to give us an update of what she have observed throughout the day. We have been, divided, throughout the day to go out there and observe, what is happening at various polling stations. And now it's 9 o'clock. So officially and by law, polling stations have closed. But nonetheless, if there are voters which are already there, it means polling officials have to continue serving those until they are finished. Only those who are already in the queue at the point when it is 9 o'clock. Okay? So depending on the number which was there, it means voting will continue until those people are finished. And after that, there won't be any new members who have to vote again at that polling station. Okay, so...
Matthias, just to add something quickly.
Yes.
As I observed the polling stations today,
yes,
I was actually thinking to myself, and I was like, so now imagine only 10 people turn up to vote in a constituency, and then the result, someone wins by 5 votes out of the whole constituency, and obviously the other 5 are split amongst others. And I thought about it, and I was like, how fair is this to society? How fair is this to the community? Mm. Unfortunately, we cannot blame anyone but the people who did not turn up to vote. But then again, the realization that people do not know the importance of these elections is a very sad one. And most people campaign not with education. Okay. Most people campaign not with educating the masses, but they campaign with promises and vote for me because I'm Hileni, and not because this is the importance of the voting process. Yes.
All right. Perhaps if there's anything else you would like to add, that is the right moment for you to deal with it.
No, not right now. We'll probably revert back to you after we have been briefed by the ECN.
All right.
And then we will see the progress. The results will start to come in, and we will also keep updating you as the evening goes.
All right.
Okay. Thank you so much. Bye.
Thank you very much for that update. I think it's valuable.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you, bye. Yeah, that is the voice of my colleague Helen Inane. She is talking to us regarding the what she observed throughout the day. As we time progress, we are going to speak to Hende, is also stationed there, as well as Dwight, to hear different perspectives regarding elections of what have transpired during the day. Let's quickly go for a break, and I will see you on the other side of this.
Eagle FM lets you express your constitutional rights of freedom of expression without fear of favor.
This is actually, to put it mildly, an economic scandal.
Fraud.
Not fraud, it's a scandal.
Scandal.
Why do you give a tender to somebody who does not have capacity to build? Why should you do that? You're the person who does not have the capacity to build.
Eagle FM lets you talk.
That's why I'm always telling people in Parliament, let me not take up my Katatura manners.
Right.
Because I grew up in Katatura.
Uh-huh.
And I will not hesitate to tell you off if it is needed to do.
Be part of the debate by setting the agenda.
My response in terms of Rwanda at 6% is that we had been there before. We've had 6% growth before.
Mm.
It's not something that Namibia has not achieved in the past, and it's not something Namibia will not be able to achieve in the future.
Eagle FM,
welcome back from that break. All right, so in the original elections, like I said, that for every 221 constituencies, one of the individual is elected to serve on the constituency council, as a constituency councillor, and to represent the constituency in the respective regional council. So now, in each of the 14 regions, the 14 regions are subdivided into electoral constituencies, and you also have under constituencies districts, it's simply a constituency, and it's simply that those are simply geographical portions of political units, which are subdividing the region. So now, it's for that reason that each regional councillor is, the one leading that constituency, spearheading developmental projects, and assisted by the constituency development committee members, who are basically committee members, non-paid committee members who advise the councillor on different developmental projects and the needs of the constituency, and it's for that very reason of spearheading development in that very constituency. So now local councillors are directly elected through secret ballots by the inhabitants of their constituencies, and they occupy a constituency office in the main settlement or of the district. However, once elected, they keep their full-time jobs, and are expected to run for their constituencies after hours. They meet in a council, once a week, and consequently they receive allowances rather than salaries for sitting in those council meetings. And in council meetings, they would have to vote on different projects for approval. So the regional councillors, on the other hand, are directly elected and by the constituency in each region. And each region sent three of the councillors to represent them at the National Council. So now the administrative division of Namibia is tabled by the boundaries, which forms, you know, the boundaries are formed by the Delimitation and Demarcation Commission. Since independence, since 1992, there have been different delimitation commissions which set and drew up constituency boundaries. And the first one, there have been different delimitation commissions to cater for the population growth. And that's why, you know, the last one, the last delimitation commission was appointed in 2013. And it still have to give its recommendation. Not in 2013, but in 2024. And that one, it still have to give its recommendation to the National Assembly for either approval or for rejection. Okay, so now if we have to look at the first delimitation commission, well, the first one was in 1992, and the members were Johan Strydom, Gerard Tortmeyer, and Martin Shipanga. So it was in all the 13 regions at the time, and the constituencies at the time were 95 of them. And you have now the second one, which was in 1998, comprised of JP, this is, Lazarus Sangura, Samuel Bambo, as well as, JP Kwawire. And, the third one was in 2002. Where we had Peter Shivute, Inge Murangi, and as well as Peter Kauluma. The one for 1998, the constituencies were 102, and the regions were 13. The one of 2002, where we had Peter Shivute, Inge Murangi, Peter Kauluma, with 13 regions and 107 constituencies. And we had the one in 2013 comprised of Alfred Siboleka, and Jedekia Ngavirwe, Jonathan Steyler, and is when we had 14 regions and 121 constituencies. And we had the previous one, who comprised of Peter Petrus Unengu, Priska Anyoro, Gerard Gurirab, and Pinias Topnar. So this one still have to give its recommendation. It was just recently last year. And we are still awaiting for those recommendations. You remember there were some regions, especially Oshkoto, where residents were saying, no, it's too big, it must be subdivided into two regions. Yeah, so a lot of, and as well as a lot of constituencies, you know, where they were seemingly to be bigger, and therefore recommendations were given for them to be subdivided. Okay, now, if we have to look at constituencies, we have Arandes, Dawres, Karibib, Omaruru, Swakopmund, Wavesbe-Ruo, and Eben. Those are two constituencies, Wavesbe-Ruo and Wavesbe-Eben. Aranos, Daweb, Hibion, Marinda-Ruo, Marinda-Eben, Rehoboth-Ruo, Rehoboth-Eben East, and Rehoboth-Eben West, Mashare, Mukwe, Diona, Dongari Nena, Rundu Rora, Rundu Eben, Kapako, Mangumpi, Mbungu, Musese, Mangoro, Kuni, Nkure Nkuru, Tontoro, John Pandeni, Katutura Central, Katutura East, Komasdal, Moses Karob, Samora Machel, Tobias Anyeko, Windhoek East, Windhoek Rura, Windhoek West, Epupa, Kamanyap, Korihas, Opuo Rura, Opuo Eben, Ucho, Sesfondain, Enana, Endora, Engera, Epembe, Wangwena, Okongo, Omulonga, Omundaungiro, Ondobe, Ongenga, Oshkango, Oshikunde, Aminius, Epukiro, Okubabes, Karahari, Oshinene, Oshombinde, Okomu, Okorukambe, Anamorenge, Elim, Etai, Ongongo, Okahao, Okalongo, Onesi, Oshikuku, Otamanzi, Utapi, Rwakana, Tandi, Okaku, Okatana, Okachari, Ompungu, Ompunja, Ondangwa Rura, Ondangwa Eben, Ngwediva, Oshakat East, Oshakat West, Ukuyu, Uvudia, Engodi, Guinas, Nehare Jambingana, Okankoro, Orukonda, Mtere, Omuthia Wipundi, Onaena, Onipa, Onyanya, Tumeb, Grootfontein, Okahanja, Okakarara, Omatako, Otavi, Oshwarongo, Tsunkwe, Judea Raboroma, Kabe North, Kabe South, Katima Muriro Rua, Katima Muriro Eben, Kongora, Nyanti, Sibinda, Beersheba, Karasberg East, Karasberg West, Kitmansop Rua, Kitmansop Eben, Aminius, and Orange Mund. Alright? So from those constituencies, we are going to hear the results. You know, some of them are falling within municipal areas, some within village councils, some within town councils. So we are going to hear the results from the regional council as well as the local authority. So now the difference between the municipalities, between the village council, between the town councils is actually the number of councillors which sit on that council management. So now you have the village council where not more than five councillors are supposed to sit on the council and make decisions regarding the projects, regarding, you know, capital projects which have to be undertaken by that village council. And those councillors have voting rights on those projects. And before we go for a break, we are going to go for a commercial break very soon. And I will urge you to stick around for more on the other side of this. Don't go anywhere.
Efiloshisho utalikulandula kona vewayuk. Ekwashilipalekolo maruendo paiwano kupitila mo NHP. Watupateleko mesho kwashilipalekolo fika mafio pedola emiliona omlongo danamibia. Moshi joshe tukeshe kuyanja omakwafo unamiti enashane filoshisho lopa ulumo mumbu. Kwa voveli ponjeo shilongo, shijoshi topo rwasho ijo yetu, tashiningwa inapawe banando ishoshe layash. Opo umone ya kulolo polis maule ominute tishona elela, lishangifako nhp.com.na omanga ino ya moruendo ponjeo shilongo. E mangono malandula fano, odo dino kulandurwa. NHP, rooted in care for you.
Your health, your life, your peace of mind. NHP, we're about you.
Eagle FM lets you express your constitutional rights of freedom of expression without fear of favor.
This is actually, to put it mildly, an economic scandal.
Fraud.
Not fraud, it's a scandal.
Scandal.
Why do you give a tender to somebody who does not have capacity to build? Why should you do that? You know a person that does not have the capacity to build.
Eagle FM lets you talk.
That's why I'm always telling people in Parliament, let me not take up my Katatura manners.
Right.
Because I grew up in Katatura.
Uh-huh.
And I will not hesitate to tell you off if it is needed to
be part of the debate by setting the agenda.
My response in terms of Rwanda at 6% is that we had been there before. We've had 6% growth before.
Mm.
It's not something that Namibia has not achieved in the past.
Mm.
And it's not something that Namibia will not be able to achieve in the future.
Eagle FM, the eye.
Welcome back. And I was speaking about the difference between the village council, the town council, and the municipality. So the main difference between the three is actually the size, the powers, the responsibilities, which are determined by the local authority, financial resources, and capacity to provide services. And village councils are the smallest, with fewer powers and often depending on the higher level of government for assistance. Let me say the central government. The village council is the smallest, and it's comprised of 5 members, 5 councillors, and cannot be more than that. And the responsibilities are actually sometimes limited. So, the number of services they can offer, and they may also receive additional powers when deemed ready. And you have to understand that this is also depending on the size, on the population, on the size of the population. And as sometimes the population is growing, as there's population growth, you have to understand that also number of, the number of responsibilities also increases. And, that is actually the difference. And, when it comes to, the town council, it's actually larger than the village council, and with, more independence and, as well as a broader range of responsibilities. You have to understand that from billing, for example, if, I have to pick out one example, Leonardville, for example, is a village council. And if you go there and observe, they are doing little when it comes to refuse collection, for example, because of the size of the municipality. It's not really capacitated to carry out those services, because you have to understand that those services are, if they are there, they mean that the residents have to be the ones paying for those services. And mind you, the residents there are already struggling to pay, to cater for bills such as water and electricity. How about if you bring now in the refuse collection and also other services? So you are going to expect that the residents are going to have arrears, to be in arrears with the municipality. So that's why sometimes the services, some of those services are withheld from such smaller municipalities. So now with the town council, you will observe a broader range of responsibilities, and it actually has more members, can range from 7 up to 12, cannot be more than that, and has more duties than the village council, including services like water, sanitation, waste management, and economic promotion. Okay? And that their status is actually higher than the village council. And then you have the municipality. Which is typically the lowest with the most comprehensive powers and duties, and is actually have more members, which can range from 7 up to 15, depending on the size, and has most extensive powers, responsibilities that can include water supply, sewage, solid waste management, and maintaining of roads and parks. And it actually has the highest status and can further be divided into categories, part one and part two, based on their level of independence. So now you have to understand that, there are also towns and settlements which are not yet some of them, the towns are not yet proclaimed as per the Proclamation Act, which actually guarantee or vested its powers in the Minister of Urban and Rural Development to proclaim that town, to proclaim it from the size of a town to a settlement, and once it reach the level of a city, that very same minister have the powers to proclaim that a settlement from the level of a settlement to a village, to a village. All right? So, just for you to understand the basics of why it is necessary for us to participate in this type of elections. Right? So now, let's quickly go for a break, and we'll come back for more.
Eagle FM lets you express your constitutional rights of freedom of expression without fear of favor.
This is actually, to put it mildly, an economic scandal.
Fraud.
Not fraud, it's a scandal.
Scandal.
Why do you give a tender to somebody who does not have capacity to build? Why should you do that? You're the person who doesn't have the capacity to build.
Eagle FM lets you talk.
That's why I'm always telling people in Parliament, let me not take up my Katatura menace.
Right.
Because I grew up in Katatura.
Uh-huh.
And I will not hesitate to tell you off if it is needed to do.
Be part of the debate by setting the agenda.
My response in terms of Rwanda at 6% is that we had been there before. We've had 6% growth before.
Mm.
It's not something that Namibia has not achieved in the past.
Mm.
And it's not something Namibia will not be able to achieve in the future.
Eagle FM, the eye.
Lipura nengelo wapumbwa eva tere ulikoni maondo tuto ingida ashike kapeno nweko dite opoye ekukurile. Oshafafa na nongeshe faili mehola mo iho etike kovano ile koshiwana. Onongeshe faa ya pumbwa kukaraya kovano. Okupitira mo Eagle FM otuna evi tota njuka. Okupitira oipindi konu konda doi nawa. Nune udo otukwetira o special angeta shake ngeshe faa omarudi dayo loka. Opone ushendi fenawa nukumona oijewa ili nawa. Ninge kwata fano na Monica ko Eagle FM. Onore tatu imwe bali heali nola natu heali bali no heali. Ile kongerewa, mura hetatu natu, bali o hetatu batatu, o mafilane, Eagle FM, the eye.
All right, and on the other side, the regional council has formed up the regional government, and the role of the regional government is actually they play a part in the decentralization of central government, actually to bring the government closer to the people, and basically means that the councillor, the regional councillor, is the eyes of the government in that constituency, and he or she plays a key part of government decentralization policy, which aim to bring government closer to the people. So now when it comes to the regional and local governments, they actually have the power to levy local taxes. They actually have powers to spearhead development. Some of them identify different projects which are supposed to help inhabitants, you know, in the collaboration with the community. And you know, in the past we had so many stories when it comes to regional government, because there are times when you know, funds allocated to projects were apparently returned to central government. But probably there are also different reasons why this happened, because you have to understand that the fiscal year, Namibian fiscal year, actually ends in February. And after that, you know, the members of the National Assembly have to deliberate on the appropriation bill, which takes some time. It actually takes some time before this appropriation bill is actually enacted by Parliament. As a bill, and probably by the time everything is finished, it's actually already going up almost, you know, almost half to the financial year. And now that requires also the regional councillor to draft proposals to different to various, you know, offices, and then this person have to approve this. It's actually a lot of bureaucracies which are involved, and probably for various reasons, by the time everything have to be approved, maybe it's already end of the financial year, and unfortunately the funds have to be returned to treasury for them to be budgeted again, because no funds have to be used if they are not budgeted. Yeah. So hence the delays. But we will discuss that further once we get back to the sender. You know, you have a lot of people who are there, and they are going to give us an insight on that. All right. You too can participate in the program, as long as you are not going to mention, you know, we have the rules of engagement. You are not going to mention things like you should have voted for party C or party B. You know, we have to be, you know, after this, we have to be Namibians and just speak about what can we do to develop our country. Eagle FM?
Yes, Dade Matiasa.
Dade.
Good evening.
Good evening, sir.
How are you?
I'm doing very well. How about yourself?
No, we thank God.
All right. Did you vote already?
Yeah, I did vote.
Okay. So.
It was just very smooth.
Mm-hmm.
So I thought maybe it was the, you know, the time when I woke up. In fact, I was listening to you.
Okay.
The program, I think it was just that maybe it was recorded.
Yeah.
Yeah, it was really good. And that's almost the time I woke up. I thought maybe it's going to be full, the line, you know. I was just imagining.
Yeah.
Then I went there, 5:30. I said, they are not even people.
Yeah.
I asked the question, what is happening? Yeah, the people are going to open. Yeah, they are going to open at 7. Oh, 7, eh? Then I said, let me go and do what is best.
Yeah.
So then I went to do exercise. I come back home. I took my shower again. And then I even slept sometimes. Did I sleep? I think I slept very late after we had a lot of discussion with your people who came before, who followed you. So it was just so quiet. day, during the day when I went there, it's just quite my friend.
Yeah.
So just slow by slow, people coming. So anyway, I don't know whether others were talking about voter apathy.
Yes.
And a lot of reason why people might not have gone to voting. I don't know which one is which. So now that you are mentioning about issues of decentralization and all these other things, that's why I decided, let me call in.
Okay.
You are even mentioning about those professors, Toto Meyer, let his soul rest in peace.
Mm.
One of my good lecture.
Yes.
Very, 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 very good when it comes to politics and this decentralization, local government, all this structure.
Uh-huh.
Very good. And you know what? When it comes to decentralization, we have got a good experience.
Yeah.
Because the way we were positioned in those, when the country just got independence. No?
Yeah.
Ah, yeah, my friend. It is used to be a headache. So now this centralization came, a treaty, we see the regions are being, you know, set up in consistency and things like that. But even still now, when we talk about devolution of the power,
mm-hmm.
the decentralization of, you know, authority. So the political centralization is fine. The fiscal decentralization also seems to be a bit fine. But the issue, the capacity is still a challenge.
Mm-hmm.
And perhaps the coordination in terms of, you know, and people will need to be sharing some of those facilities, resources. But you find out some of the ministries, some of the line ministries are not speeding up those decentralization process. So that's why you find out that this other office is just in the federal government. This other one. So it's really taking, but you know, you see from the experience, we are really doing very good. Except where you see that, like, you know, Congo, those areas, you still find out that most of the service might not be provided there within those, but as they demarcate more of those areas, you know, demarcating them.
Yeah.
Yes, the population is growing. Where you were having a small one clinic or so, you might need to put two or three so that you cut also the services, I mean the distance.
Yeah.
You know? So I heard that grade 10, this grade, the grade that was taken from school, I think people are discussing it so that it can come back.
Okay.
Because children are now having to learn themselves to walk long distance and things like that. And they are still young, this way.
Mm.
They are not really mature. I don't think the maturity will really permit them to even stay in the places like Omgorumi. Those the informal settlement there.
Yeah.
So, but I think those are some of the areas, some of the services that you need to come closer to the people.
Mm.
If you know that this area, there's a need for grade, what is this grade? Grade 8, eh?
Yeah.
Is it grade 8 or 10 that was removed?
I think it's 10.
So now, it has to be brought back. So because that might also risk the children to, you know, engaging into this unwanted, you know, conduct.
Mm-hmm.
So, and then they might even end up having pregnancy and things like that. So it's a matter of really coordinating and integrating some of those services so that at least each and everyone has got a part. It is the Minister of Education, because the Minister of Education is well decentralized, I'm sure, as compared to many others.
Mm-hmm.
Those are ministries that we really work with. and you can see that some of these areas, even here, these areas are really decentralized. So, but people need to coordinate their efforts in those areas. So, but in terms of fiscal decentralization, where we have challenges because people are stealing money, people are not even utilizing the budget, the correction of taxes and things like that that you were mentioning. So that one is really a big issue. But when it comes to political administration, I mean centralization, that one I think, but you know, they're not separate that one with the fiscal one. Because money is necessary, it's important there.
So Steve, were there any challenges experienced there?
Yeah.
Even for you to do your political activity, mobilization and issues like that. I'm not talking about for political gain now. I mean, for individual political, but I'm just talking about politics as in a broad sense. In a broad sense. So, but we need to really fast track some of this area and make sure that the local people there, they have the authority. They can take decision, they can participate in decision-making process. And they now implement by identifying their needs, you know, and then now the money, how to source the money, how to mobilize for resources, financial resources, because we just say, no, those people are in the village, they are not, but they can mobilize for the resources and then create more projects there, in those areas of theirs. So, any question?
Yeah,
to post me on this thing because you always ask question on at the end of the talk.
Because you mentioned about you mentioned that before it used to be it was a challenge. Perhaps you can just expand to why are you saying that it was a challenge? Maybe you can just expand on that.
You see, office is like, you know, I think I mentioned it at one point. We're having, say, Ondangwa East, education Ondangwa East, Ondangwa Angwena, Ondangwa West, Ondangwa East, and things like that. Meaning that all those offices, they were coordinated from Windu to Ondangwa. Ondangwa West now, that has been, I think, that is the director Kandobo who was dealing with the thing. That means all the omsatis, the wards, and everything is now being administered to Ondangwa, for example. And now if I have to appoint a teacher, the teacher or whatever, they are fired is in Ondangwa. And it's not in Angwena. And so the file has to come there and here, and imagine the salaries and all these things, the file has to be sent here.
Uncle Bona, let me cut you short. There is a short announcement which is coming from the ECN headquarters. We are going to cross live to the ECN headquarters. There is an announcement which is about to be made. And I'll urge you to stick around for that announcement. Don't go anywhere.
Commissioner Emerentia Leonard, Commissioner Percy Kwambi, Mr. Peter Sharma, the Chief Electoral and Referendum Officer, Ms. Zinia Klassen, the Director of Operation, Advocate Heidi Jacobs, our Senior or Chief Legal Advisor, rather, Mr. Alpheus General Fiku, our Senior Legal Officer, members of the media, fellow Namibians, ladies and gentlemen, good evening and welcome to our second update on the polling, polling progress, counting, as well as closing of the polls for the 2025 regional councils and local authorities elections. My name is David Siluka,
I'm the Deputy Director for Corporate Communications of at the Electoral Commission of Namibia, and this evening I'll be directing this short program where we are going to be updating the nation on the progress made. Without any further ado, let me invite the Chairperson of the Electoral Commission of Namibia, Dr. Elsie Nikembwa, to address the nation.
Good evening, fellow Namibians. As promised, the Commission has come again for the second time on this day to give an update on polling progress, closing and vote counting procedures for the regional council and local authority elections that took place today. We also want to explain and give more details regarding the results counting process that is in progress now. All the 4,861 polling stations opened and conducted polling successfully. The Commission has noted that the course of the polling process, as earlier communicated in our morning briefing, the Commission has recorded the following isolated challenges. Firstly, the rainfall. As the country continues to receive rainfall, as reported in some parts of the Comas, Kabango West, Oshikoto, Ochogonjupa, and Zambezi regions, the Commission has made necessary arrangements to ensure the safekeeping of election materials and continuation of polling in these areas with minimal disruption. Secondly, voters turning up at wrong polling stations. Despite the Commission's efforts to educate voters about the requirements to vote within the constituencies in which they are registered, some voters turned up at the wrong polling stations. In these cases, polling officials directed them to the correct polling locations in their respective constituencies. The third challenge, voters turning up with voters could unfortunately not cast their votes due to the fact that their voters' cards are no longer valid. And in most instances, these voters came with the cards that were issued in 2014. Fellow citizens, polling stations closed at 2100 hours this evening. All voters in the queue at closing time will be permitted to cast their votes in strict adherence to the provisions of Section 93, Subsection 3 of the Electoral Act, No. 5 of 2014. As polls close, we wish to counting processes to remain at their respective polling stations to observe vote counting and announcement of results. This oversight is vital in ensuring the credibility and transparency of the elections. We, however, wish to caution that they must fulfill this role responsibly and cooperate with polling staff. In terms of the Electoral Act, immediately after the close of polls, voting and counting will take place at the same polling station in the presence of election agents or political parties, organizations, associations, and candidates as required by the Electoral Act. Election agents are required to sign the results announcement form produced by the presiding officer to attest to the counting process. This reinforces transparency, ensures immediate counting, and facilitates the announcement of preliminary election results at the polling station level. Fellow Namibians, a total of 120 collation centers have been established in all the 120 constituencies and 59 local authorities to collate the results from various polling stations for each constituency where preliminary constituency results will be announced before being transmitted to the Central Election Results Centre for further verification, approval and final announcement. This multi-tier structure confirms the official verification and declaration of results as prescribed by the Electoral Act. The Commission is collaborating with NAMPO and will continue ensuring the safety and security of the staff, the electorate, election materials and equipment before, during and after the elections. As we close polling, we would like to express our gratitude to all registered voters who have exercised their civic rights by casting their votes and for maintaining peace and calm during the voting process. Our plea is that this positive spirit continues through the counting of votes and the announcement of the results. Thank you for your commitment to democracy today and always. May God bless Namibia. That is the end of the statement that we wanted to give. We are opening up the floor for questions. If there are questions from the members of the media, suffice to say, ladies and gentlemen, that the Commission will start with announcing their results as from tomorrow, but will communicate in advance to you as our stakeholders what time that is going to start. So what is going to happen tonight is just the counting at polling station level, the verification at the collation center, verification at the central election results center, and then tomorrow we start with the announcement of the results per constituency, per local authority. Thank you. The floor is open for questions.
Thank you very much, Chairperson. May we please give another round of applause for that brief and concise national briefing. Thank you. We will now take questions from the media. Please, by the way of indicating your hand, your name, and the institution that you are representing. Let's try to be brief and concise as possible.
Good evening. My name is Zohane. I'm the coordinating editor for MarketWatch. Through observation, there appears to be clearly observable voter apathy. What is your reaction to that? Is it a concern, and how do we address that? Do you believe that the ECN did not carry out the sufficient voter education to ensure that Namibians were able to carry out their civic duty? Thank you very much.
There's a hand here in front.
Good evening. I am Alexa Namjepo from the Windhoek Observer newspaper. I just have one question. Does the ECN consider it a violation of the 48-hour campaign blockout for a political candidate to address or participate in official municipal events or for parties to hold press conferences during this period? Thank you.
Any other question? Going once, going twice. Chairperson, over to you.
Thank you very much. I'll take the first question and then the second one I'll give to Commissioner Ikwambi. When we talk about voter apathy, we should also look at what the contributing factors could be. And it cannot be put down to the Commission alone. But let us also contextualize this question. The historical trend of this election has been that there has always been low voter turnout. I think the exception was probably in 1992. 2020, the turnout was 38%. And we were really hoping that this time around, of course, I'm talking not having the final figures in terms of how many people turned out, that it was going to look better. So let us see how the statistics are going to be. However, I can give you the assurance that the Commission has really done its part in terms of voter education. We started with civic education. Closer to the elections, we then focused on voter education. On a daily basis, in all constituencies, we have voter education officers
who go and do voter education, civic education to all the communities. We have one assigned per constituency. So I can say with confidence that we have done our part. However, as a nation, we need to collectively find out what are the reasons that there seem to be a higher turnout for the presidential and National Assembly elections, but there is a lower turnout for the regional and local authority elections. Your question was, is it a concern to the Commission? Of course it is. And it should be a concern to all of us. So we need to hold hands collectively and ensure that we get a better turnout the next time around. All of us have a role to play, whether it is the media, the political parties, the civil society organizations, everybody has a responsibility. So that is my response to that question. I'm going to give the second question to Commissioner Ikwambi. Thank you.
Thank you, Chair. So the Commission, through the CEO, on the 20th of November, issued an operational directive to our electoral stakeholders, our regional electoral officers, our returning officers, as well as to the police, with clear guidelines on the cessation of political campaigning, as well as the statutory cooling off period for regional council and local authority elections. In this operational directive, we clearly explained the legal framework as well as the statutory mandate of the code of conduct as well as the relevant provisions of the Electoral Act which govern or provide for the cooling off period. The relevant code of conduct was published in 2024 in September, and it was clearly indicated that it binds all political parties, organizations, candidates, members, supporters, and all other stakeholders in terms of Clause 4 of the Code of Conduct. In that statement or directive, we also defined what constitutes canvassing. We made it clear that part of the act of political campaigning is the canvassing of votes, which is central to the establishment and operation of political parties as part of its objects insofar as the Electoral Act is concerned when they participate and promote elections. And canvassing was defined to be the canvassing of votes for a candidate in an election, and the cooling off period was determined or arrived at or ascertained in accordance with the polling day determination, which was proclaimed in the Government Gazette of 37 of 2025. This directive clearly indicated that in terms of Clause 7 of the Code of Conduct, the cessation of prohibited activities commenced from midnight, 24 hours before the polling day, up until polling stations have closed on that particular day. Because polling was then set for the 26th of November in terms of the proclamation, 37 of 2025, it was directed that the prohibition became operational at midnight of the 25th of November. Political parties were further directed that all campaigns, including gatherings, advertisement of publications, and all other forms of canvassing for votes by political parties, organizations, and candidates must cease completely at 23:59 on 24 November. We went further and clearly determined or defined what prohibited conduct is. In Clause 3.3 of that directive, we indicated that political parties, organizations, and candidates may not engage in the following acts: convening or holding a public gathering of any kind, publishing
or causing or permitting the publication of any advertisement or a statement promoting or opposing a particular political party, organization, or candidate. Disrupting the work of election officials at a polling station or a counting center. Coercing a voter who does not require assistance to be assisted to vote. So in answering your question, sir, convening or holding a public gathering of any kind, in my view, includes a press conference and therefore constitutes a contravention. Thank you.
Well, thank you, Chairperson and Commissioner Ikwambi, for clearly answering those questions. We still have one more question here, and two.
Thank you. My name is Justisham from the Windhoek Observer. I wanted to find out what was the budget for voter education this year? How much did the ECN spend on voter education? And then a follow-up on the directive of gatherings by political parties. Has the ECN observed any political party that violated that directive during this period? And since there was special voting on the 24th, how does that work with the directive, seeing that special voting was on the 24th and then the directive came into effect on the 25th and special voting is still voting? How does that work?
Thank you.
Good evening, Franklin Thomas, NBC National FM. In view of the fact that counting is currently underway at polling stations across the country, and the ECN, as you rightfully announced in your statement, results will only be announced as of tomorrow. Can the Namibian nation expect final results to be known and announced much earlier than perhaps expected or predicted? If so, what date or day are we looking at? Thank you so much.
Any more hands? Okay, we can take one more.
Good evening. My name is Vincent Parapagalokaminya from NPC Murari FM. My question is to the commission regarding the special voting day. A lot of the ACN employees, like the drivers and some of the media personnel, were not included. Is it not something that is adding up to the low turnout? And if it is, how is the commission going to consider that in future?
Thank you very much. May we take those questions? All right. Over to you, Chairperson.
Thank you very much for the questions. Let me start with a question from Franklin. Yes, the counting is underway. The announcement will be done at polling station level. The verification will be done at the collation center level. And we expect the results to start coming in tonight. So there is certainly a high probability that most of the results will be announced in the course of the day tomorrow. And then the remainder on the 28th. And that is because we have teams that are in very far remote areas, and we should also give them a chance to bring their results to the collation centers. Probability is high that we might, I'm using the word might, and I know you are from the media, do not crucify me after this. There is a high probability that we might be done by the 28th. That is actually what we planned for. Thank you. I would like the Director of Operations, Ms. Senia Klassen, to talk about the budget for voter education. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Chairperson. Yes, the budget for the 2025-2026 financial year for voter and civic education was 26 million.
Okay, then the next question I'm going to give to Commissioner Ikwambi. You can.
Thank you, Chair. I'll deal with the question. I think it was a follow-up question pertaining to whether the Commission has observed any transgressions with the operational directive, and there's also a question on whether it applied to special voting, and then there's a question of why special voting was not made applicable to the ECL drivers. Let me start with the observation of transgressions. I think I would say that we have not received any information of any transgressions to the code of conduct by political parties. And we would appeal to those who might have observed such to provide the commission with such details, and the commission will act accordingly in terms of the law. Perhaps one of the things that I didn't mention is that there are statutory invocations which can be invoked towards a candidate, a supporter of any political party who contravenes that operational directive, because the operational directive was crafted or drawn from the relevant provisions of the Electoral Act, and specifically the statutory offense and penalties are stipulated in Section 188 of the Electoral Act. The new provision for penalties of a fine not exceeding 10,000 on first conviction, if it's for a political party or an organization, or 5,000 or imprisonment for a period not exceeding 1 year or both, in respect of a member of a political party or an organization or a supporter on the first conviction. Whether this operational directive or the code of conduct was made applicable to special voting as well, the operational directive was crafted before special voting, but it was obviously crafted in view of the main polling day, 26. But strictly speaking, special voting is an election. So it can also be extended to special voting, and our plea and understanding is that our stakeholders take it as such and adhere strict adherence, because it is an election even if it's special voting. Although special voting only applies to two categories, which is your police officials who are deployed for ECN duties on main election day, as well as polling officials who are deployed outside of their constituencies. That takes me to the next question, which deals with the drivers, why they have not been included in special voting. That is because of the law as it is currently crafted. Section 98 only affords special accommodation to two categories: police officers deployed for ECM duties outside of their constituency, polling officials who are deployed out of their constituency. But we agree that there may be a need to expand that accommodation and apply it to everyone else, perhaps including all other ECN officials, including commissioners who are running on election day managing crisis but do not have that accommodation. But we are not the lawmakers. We are implementing the law as it is currently is. We can make recommendations for it to be changed, and if accepted, we will implement it as is. Thank you, Chair.
Thank you, Commissioner Ikwambi. I would like to hand over the question regarding the polling officials and the voting during special voting and what arrangements we have made for those who could not vote on special voting day. CEO.
Thank you very much, Chairperson. Very good evening, members of the media. Yes, as Commissioner Nkwambi indicated, the law is very specific when it comes to elections for this year. Specific in that it only specifies that only polling officials, police officers who are going to be deployed outside their constituency where they are registered as voters. Hence, they are granted the opportunity to vote 2 days before the election day. Yes, the Commission has made arrangement as per law to accord the officials the opportunity to vote, but unfortunately, because of various reasons and circumstances, this not all of them could vote on special voting. But of course, the Commission has a responsibility and our obligation to make sure that every voter is accorded the opportunity to cast his or her vote. What have we done? As a Commission, we have done our analysis and we have issued a directive to all our 14 regional electoral officers to make sure that administrative and the logistical arrangements are in place to make sure that those officials who could not participate on special voting day, they do so today, the 26th, and that was done across the country. This was also done in consideration that services or the performance of their duties at their respective polling stations is not affected. It must be done in a rotated manner so that we make sure that the services at the polling stations are not affected. So this was done, and to that effect, we have also issued a media statement last night informing all of you. I saw something, Chairperson.
Thank you, CEO. I just would like to emphasize that there is really an acknowledgement from the Commission and other stakeholders that there is a need to amend Section 98 of the Electoral Act that specifically deals with what we're discussing and the categories that should be included. For instance, if you look at the members of the media, you are also deployed for election purposes, and you might be deployed outside of your constituency where you have registered. And rightfully, you should also be included in the category that should qualify for special voting. But as it is now, the law confines us only to those two categories. And there's a difference between the special voting, the category that qualifies for special voting during last year's election and this election, because last year was the whole security sector. But this year, the law specifies that it's police officials who are deployed outside of their constituencies for election purposes and also polling officials, only those two categories. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Chairperson, for that concise response to those questions. Do we still have any more questions?
Yeah. Good evening. My name is Donald from Touch FM NBC Radio.
I just wanted to ask, insofar as establishing voter education and voter education material, how involved is ECN with civic organizations and research-based civil societies in carrying out this voter education? Because we do see certain research-based civic organizations do write and publish why there's so much voter education needed in certain voters or potential voters that can vote, but rather we experience voter apathy within this certain dynamics of people.
Any more questions? Thank you very much. I think that is the last question for the night. Chairperson, over to you.
Thank you very much. As I stated earlier, civic education cannot be done by ECN alone. We've had over the years collaboration with civil society organizations, one of them being NID. They have been assisting us over the years to conduct civic education. And what we've also done is we've signed a memorandum of agreements with the University of Namibia and University of Science and Technology also to assist in that role. We also want to use this opportunity to encourage other civil society organizations to come on board so that we strengthen the civic education collectively. It is really a responsibility that should be carried out by various sectors. I don't know if the Director of Operations would like to add. Okay. Thank you.
Well, thank you very much, Chairperson. Fellow Namibians, we are conducting a research or survey, poll exit survey, on the 2025 Regional Councils and Local Authority elections, and we would like to urge all of you to participate in that survey. The link is available on our website, that is www.ecn.na. Please access the link to ensure that you participate in the survey. Secondly, our mobile application app for the results announcement and the website links are all on. Do follow us as we announce the results for the authentic results announcement. With that said, members of the media, fellow Namibians, thank you very much for listening to us. We shall update you again and provide the exact time of the update on our next update on this election progress. Good night.
Yeah, that is Siluka that day, Siluka right there announcing, facilitating, or rather, the update regarding the announcement, the proceedings, the counting of results, the announcement of results, you know, picking up from the announcements there that, you know, as polling and voting have officially closed, results will be start coming in from tonight, and the general public must therefore be expecting the results to be to start to be announced from tomorrow, and also emphasizing on the fact that, you know, civic education, because there's a general observation of voter apathy. Therefore, on her side, she, you know, the election, the Eastern Commissioner, Mingi Kembwa, announced that, you know, civic education, voter civic education is not the responsibility of the Electoral Commission alone, but various stakeholders have to come on board. Mentioning the memorandum of understanding the Commission have signed with the Namibia University of Science and Technology as well as the University of Namibia on the very same issue, saying that, you know, all the stakeholders have to come on board and ensure that, you know, the message reaches the masses. All right, but we'll be very soon crossing over to the very same venue to hear more from various analysis from our crew who are standing by, you know, at ECN headquarters. So stay tuned, stay put for more on this very same issue.
Eagle FM lets you express your constitutional rights of freedom of expression without fear of failure.
This is actually, to put it mildly, an economic scandal.
Fraud.
Not fraud, it's a scandal.
Scandal.
Why do you give a tender to somebody who does not have capacity to build? Why should you do that? You know, a person who doesn't have the capacity to build.
Eagle FM lets you talk.
That's why I'm always telling people in Parliament, let me not take up my Katatura manners.
Right.
Because I grew up in Katatura. And I will not hesitate to tell you off if it is needed to
be part of the debate by setting the agenda.
My response in terms of Rwanda at 6% is that we had been there before. We've had 6% growth before. It's not something that Namibia has not achieved in the past, and it's not something that Namibia will not be able to achieve in the future.
Eagle FM, the Eye.
Lipura nenge lo wapumbwa eva tere ulikoni maondu tuto ingida ashike kapeno nwepo tete opoe ekukulile Oshafa fana nongeshefa ili nehola mo ihewe tike kovano hile koshuali Onongeshefa ya pumbwa kukaraya kovano Okupitira mo Eagle FM otuna evi tota njuka Okukwetira oipindi konu kwanda doi inawa Yuneudo otukwetira o special angeta shake ngeshefa omarudi dayo loka Opone ushendi fenawa nukumona oijabu ili nawa Ninge pata fano na Monica ko Eagle FM Onore tatu imwe mbali heali nola natu heali mbali no heali Ileko mberewa, vera hetatu natu, bali o hetatu matatu, o mafilane, Eagle FM, the eye.
Eagle FM lets you express your constitutional rights of freedom of expression without fear of failure.
This is actually, to put it mildly, an economic scandal.
Fraud.
Not fraud, it's a scandal.
Scandal.
Why do you give a tender to somebody who does not have capacity to build? Why should you do that? You know, a person who doesn't have the capacity to build.
Eagle FM lets you talk.
That's why I'm always telling people in Parliament, let me not take up my Katatura manners.
Right.
Because I grew up in Katatura, and I will not hesitate to tell you off if.
Yeah. Seems like the team is not yet ready, but nonetheless, we'll be continuing with more analysis from myself. more analysis from myself regarding the very same issue. We were actually previously speaking about decentralization, and perhaps just to give you a sense of how that can be looking. Like, you know that, in Namibia, you have, a lot of migration happening and, a lot of migration moving from one area, from one region, from one town to another, from one, area to another is happening a lot. And people are leaving their respective regions because of push factors and pull factors. You have to understand that people are more attracted to areas where economically speaking more flourishing than others, you know. So hence the government came up with an idea to decentralize services, and you know, decentralization basically just means the process of distributing authority and decision making away from the central, point, to lower local levels. And, this can be seen in government delegating power to regional, authorities, or in a business of empowering local managers, for example. And the core concept of this shifting power and responsibility, as well as planning from single sender to more distributed parts of an organization or government. So Center of government transfer power, functions and responsibilities to regional and local levels, and it gives some national government some degree of autonomy to make decisions and manage the affairs of the central government, often related to urban and rural planning. So now this aims to give people in regions more control over their lives and decisions that affect them on a daily basis. And it can also involve political administration and fiscal decentralization, you know, often occurring simultaneously. Right? So, this also serves to empower leaders at local levels to handle problems and decisions on their own without needing to consult, you know, and just simply cut off some bureaucracies. And it can also enhance the executive skills of employees, such as self-reliance and confidence, by giving them the chance to perform different jobs. And this also does not mean that they don't have to report. They have to always to report to the senior managers, for that matter. Yeah. All right. So on that note, I have to leave it there. And to leave it there and just come back a little bit later on. So see you around 2 o'clock. For myself, Matias Sangala, bye bye for now.